This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Something that we've been hearing over the past couple of weeks is that Michigan's been here before. People marching in the streets, African-American citizens standing up against generations of violence and systematic oppression. But this time, sometimes you hear people say there's just more people involved, more energy, more political will. We were curious to get a little deeper into the context. Joining us today is Bryce Huffman, a reporter for Bridge Detroit. In case you had not heard, Bridge Detroit is a new nonprofit journalism project covering the city. Bryce, it's really good to hear from you.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, you grew up in Detroit, and I know that's where you're living now, but listeners might remember your prior job was covering Grand Rapids for Michigan Radio, so you've had a chance to sort of keep an eye on both communities.
Yeah.
Was there anything that you noticed about the protests in Detroit and Grand Rapids, what they shared or ways in which they're different?
I think one of the big similarities I've seen, I guess I'll start with the things that are similar. It's a lot of young people getting involved, a lot of young white people, frankly, getting involved. And that's something that you didn't necessarily see 5 or 6 years ago when the protests happened after Ferguson and after Eric Garner were killed. So that's definitely something that has been seen in both cities. Lots of young college activists, a lot of young 20-somethings getting involved, some for the first time protesting. The difference that I'm seeing is the reaction from the police. In Detroit, there was a few days, maybe 4 or 5 days, where police had sort of an antagonistic relationship with protesters. But in Grand Rapids, there were actual riots. There were actual cop cars being lit on fire. Cops were actually on video beating people up with batons. It seems that the main difference is in Grand Rapids, the police department, they're taking more aggressive action against people who are peacefully protesting. And not that that hasn't happened in Detroit, but it seems that from the top down, the police department is recognizing that the protesters are right and that the police do need some checks and balances put on them.
Yeah. You recently published an article for Bridge Detroit in which you spoke with black police officers, retired or departed from the force, some of whom had very long experience. Could you say a little bit about who you reached out to for this?
Yeah. One of the names that is kind of famous for his stories as a cop is Ike McKinnon. He was an officer. He was a black police officer for the force starting in 65. And I want to say he left in 84 and then came back in 94 and was actually chief for a couple of years. The other officer that I spoke to who actually made it into the piece is Laverne Mack. He actually was an officer who, like Ike, joined the force after being brutalized by white police officers. They both joined the force with the intention of changing it from within. And although they both admit things didn't go their way at first, eventually some change actually was seen there.
Yeah. Many of the issues at play in these protests are not new. And both Ike McKinnon and Vern Mack, as you say, had some really harrowing stories to share about their own experiences as young black men and as young black police officers. Did they offer any thoughts on what might be different this time around or what they see ahead for police forces in their cities?
I think what they both spoke to isn't necessarily about what is different right now. But what could become different and what is slowly starting to happen more and more as these protests are publicized, it's that people who didn't think that they had skin in the game, young, white, educated people from the suburbs, people who, you know, maybe 20, 25 years ago wouldn't protest police brutality because it doesn't affect them. Those are the people that are starting to really get involved and starting to talk to their fellow white neighbors and talk to people who don't think that they have skin in the game. And I think that is some of the change that we're starting to see right now.
This must have been a really incredible moment for them to witness.
I would assume so.
Yeah. This wasn't implicitly addressed in your published piece, but did either of them, or Omari Barksdale, who you also spoke with, who's a community activist in Detroit, did any of them have thoughts on the proposals that we've heard to defund police, the implication being that the institution is fundamentally flawed?
Well, Omari addressed it a little bit, but the other two didn't really address defunding the police, but addressing police departments and fixing them from within. And part of the fixing them from within that they both talked about was having officers that look like and are from the communities of people that they're policing. And I think that's the change that they were really trying to implement when they were on the force. Amari talked about the idea of taking resources from the police department and putting it in the community. And even though that didn't necessarily make it into the published piece, that's something that has been a real talking point this week amongst people in the city is, well, what if we did defund it? What would that look like? Where would those resources go? And would that actually solve the issue here? And the issue is racial injustice. And from what I've heard from people, it doesn't seem like defunding the police would really address that on its head.
It was especially poignant reading what Ike McKinnon had to say about 1967 in Detroit. Could you just share a little bit of what he told you about what was going on with him that year when the city exploded?
Yeah, so Ike McKinnon actually lived in the area where the riots started. And while the story he shared with me wasn't about the riots, it was about the state of mind that police officers had at the time. He shared with me a story where he was in uniform driving his car, and he was pulled over by two white officers. He signaled to them that he was a police officer. He showed them his badge, and they shot at him. And, you know, he luckily got away, but they said some racial slurs to him right before they fired at him. And I think it's things like that that we kind of lose to history when it comes to Detroit. We forget that while we're a predominantly black city now, that wasn't always the case. And the racial tension that he talked about with me is something that a lot of black Detroiters have felt for decades.
Yeah. Bridge Detroit launched just a few days before George Floyd was murdered. This has to be an amazing time to be launching a newsroom populated by reporters of color covering a community that is majority black and brown in this moment. Could you maybe describe a little bit about what that's been like and what some of the conversations have been?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I'm really fortunate to be in a newsroom where I don't have to explain my experience to anyone. It's very much understood. So we're starting our conversations about what we're going to cover, not from, you know, how is everyone feeling, but instead we're like, okay, we know how we're feeling. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to, as journalists, best represent this issue? Should we take a more activist approach? And those are really the conversations we've been having. And I think at the end of the day, we as journalists of color realize that the burden is on us to represent these stories and to tell these stories in the most respectful and in most thoughtful manner possible. But at the end of the day, as journalists, we're also just trying to tell the story. And I think that's what we're doing so far. I think we're letting Detroiters tell their own story.
Bryce Huffman is a reporter at Bridge Detroit. His article, George Floyd's Painful Death, A Reminder of Detroit's History of Police Violence, can be read right now at Bridge Detroit. You can read his work and listen to the audio components at bridgedetroit.com. Bryce, thank you, and stay safe out there.
All right. Thank you. I'm trying to stay safe.